How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 9, Mark 9, verse number 42. The Lord is spoken about how to be the greatest in the kingdom. He says the receiving of children is a great thing before the Lord, and we need to receive those who are weak and those who are in need, as a child represents. We need to not fight against those that are we really don't fight against anyone. But we certainly don't need to fight and quarrel against those who have truth and are going forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are not against the work of the Lord. We don't need to be an offense to the children of God. If offense is at hand, it needs to be because of the Word of God, what God says. We don't judge based on what we think, but what we just tell again what the Lord has said. And if people are offended by that, then that's between them and the Lord. He says that if a little one, if one would offend, whosoever, verse 42, shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Better for one to be killed and drowned in the sea than to offend one of the Lord's children. And then he talks about offense, and he's not talking about the mutilation of the body, but he says this is, he makes a great statement about how far we need to get away from offense. And if it is the hand or the foot or the eye that offends, we need to sever them from us. If that's how bad it is, and he's not talking about physically doing that, but he's talking about the terribleness of sin and how we need a remedy for sin, and we need to get away from sin, because sin ultimately destroys in the lake of fire that cannot be quenched, and that souls never die. Souls that are cast into hell in the lake of fire will be there eternally. And so, sin is to be avoided. Sin needs a remedy, and that remedy is without, because there's going to be assaulting of everyone, whether it be assaulting, verse number 49, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt, a distinction. Those that are unrepentant and unbelieving in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior will be salted with fire. And those that repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he saves will be salted with salt. Isn't that something? It's a change from without, a help, a remedy from without. Salt, we know, is a preservative. Salt is that which gives a good savor. It's good to put salt on vegetables and meat, isn't it? And so those that are without Christ and those that don't seek a remedy for sin, don't care about, they love their sin more than they love anything else, they will be salted with fire. But those that hear the Lord and believe the Lord and know that they need a remedy for sin that's beyond and greater than cutting off their limbs and plucking out their eyes. Because, see, sin is not in the hand, and sin, our bodies indeed are corrupt, but sin is not in the hand. Sin is not in the eye. Sin is not in the foot. Sin is in the heart. Sin is in the heart. Sin is in the factory of sin. The heart. And so they need salt. The salt of the Lord from without. The salt from Him. At verse 49, everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. The scripture talks about those who the Lord saves are a pleasing and acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that really something, how the Lord does that? And He takes those sacrifices and He salts them with salt. The salt from God. The salt from our Lord. It makes a difference within in them. Salt is good, He says in verse 50. But if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? See, salt is salt. There is absolutely no other substitute for it. You can't make salt out of anything else. And so, there's only one way of salvation, and that is the salt of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And sinners are saved through repentance and faith in Him. He is the salt. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? See, it tells that there's only one way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, have salt in yourselves. You'll have a remedy for sin, and then you'll be a blessing to the world round about you. See, don't worry about real and how did all this dissertation start? Master, verse 38, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. This all got started with that. And the Lord says, you have salt in yourself. You worry about you. And you worry about obeying me. You worry about following me. You worry about yourself being salted, being helped from without, not from within. He said, have salt in yourselves, and listen, have peace one with another. Now, the Lord never indicates that we should have peace one with another. It would be out of context to consider that this peace would be at the compromise of the truth. Okay? So the truth is what always is at hand, in peace one with another, in the truth. We need to know how to be able to disagree agreeably. And so when brethren, those who are saved, have a disagreement, even about the Word of God, we need to be able to agree, be able to disagree agreeably. Now, if there is falsehood or heresy that's taught, what needs to be taught to answer that is the truth. But we need to do it, as it says again in Ephesians, to speak the truth in love. So may the Lord help us in that. We come to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse number 1. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coast of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. All right, so he comes back down into Judea. And he's on the, if we understand this right, on the other side, Jordan. As the Gospels tell us, he went to a place where John baptized. He went over to those places again. He's on the other side of Jordan from Jerusalem. And he taught. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And so the Pharisees come and says, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Can that be done? And he answered and said unto them, verse number 3, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." So they ask him, they're tempting him. They're wanting to trip up the Lord and his words and his doctrine. And so they ask him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Is that okay? Is that allowable?" And so he asked him in turn, "So what did Moses tell you?" And he said, "Well, he suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." So Moses suffered. See, it wasn't what was desired. But there was this, so that of the putting away, men putting away their wives, and they get tired of them and whatever, and there was seemingly a need to prevent the whole thing from being without authority and publicly recognized. So the bill of divorcement was that which a woman would hold, saying, you know, "I have been put away from my husband and I'm not tied to him anymore." But it was a suffering. It wasn't the design, because the Lord points to that. Jesus answered and said to them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept." And I think this is a key element, an essential point. For there to be divorce between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, there's going to have to be hardness of heart. Hardness of heart, unwillingness to do what's right, unwillingness to work things out, unwillingness to compromise to good things. There's going to be hardness of heart at hand if there's divorce. If there's divorce, there's hardness of heart. Whether it be the pursuit of sin and wickedness, being unfaithful in the marriage, there's hardness of heart about it. Not tenderness. What's the opposite of hardness of heart? Well, tenderness, compassion, commitment. And the Lord says, "From the beginning," but from the beginning of the creation. And so there is a creation. God made them male and female. God created you and me. "And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, a man and a woman in marriage for life." That's where the intimacy between a man and a woman is to be held to, is marriage. And for the bringing forth of children and the filling of the earth, notice there's not two women here, and notice there's not two men here. There's a man and a woman. And notice that there's only one man and one woman. From the beginning of the creation, when God made man, men and women, he says they shall be joined together in marriage. And the man will leave his father and his mother, that family, and cleave to his wife and make his own family. And the two, the twain, shall be one flesh. And then they are no more twain but one flesh. And they are so because they're complementary. Men and women are complementary in every way, one to another. But men are not complementary to men, and women are not complementary to women. It's men that are complementary to women, and women complementary to men. What therefore God, and then the Lord Jesus adds this, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." God's done this. Don't you put it apart. I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.